You're listening to Politics Up Close. I'm Jeff Robinson. For Utah congressional candidate Charles Kimball, just getting his name on the ballot was a tough feat. That's because the District 2 hopeful is running as an independent and had to go door-to-door collecting signatures in order to run. Now he has a large district to travel in order to get his name out there, talking about issues like the influence of money in politics, creating a 21st century education, and public lands. Kimball joins me now in the studio to discuss what he has to offer voters this fall. And Charles, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for independent congressional candidate Charles Kimball. We're at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Charles, what motivated you to take on the very tough task of running as an independent for Congress?
Well, I think the short answer, Jeff, is participation. I believe that for democracy to work, every citizen must lay a claim to it and have a stake in it. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson wrote that that government is the strongest when every man feels himself a part of it. So I run as an independent because I feel that the middle class has lost its voice in Congress.
And what's the process of getting on the ballot in Utah, Charles, as an independent candidate?
Well, it's 300 registered voters in the district, and the number doesn't seem that big, but boy, you knock on a lot of doors. We collected about 658 signatures in total, half of which were not valid, and so it's really a lot of legwork, a lot of listening to people's concerns, a lot of talking to them, a lot of times convincing them that you're running as an independent isn't going to hurt other candidates, that you're really trying to expand the dialogue and have a conversation with people about important issues.
And so there was an interesting article, Charles, in the Salt Lake Tribune about how you qualified to get on the ballot by the skin of your teeth on the last day to file, right at the deadline. Tell me about that experience.
Well, we had initially collected 435 signatures. Took them down to the county, and the county, through a process of verifying the signatures in the district, rejected almost half of them. So we had to go back out again. And it's not as simple as just knocking on a door and getting a signature. It's 5 or 10 minutes of conversation. It's maybe 15 minutes of conversation. It's doors getting closed. It's people not being home. Mm-hmm. So knocking on 600 doors is more like 3,000 to 4,000 doors. And so we took down a second set of signatures, of which some were invalidated, and I think there were 45 minutes prior to having to file.
Do you have to go to every single county in the whole district?
No. You collect 300 signatures within a district, and so for me, in order to collect those 300, you have to file the signatures in the county in which you're collecting the signatures. So it would have been virtually impossible for me to travel every county that is in part of Congressional District 2 to collect signatures and then drop them off at their county clerk's office.
Now, this is obviously a very different process than for Republicans or Democrats to get on the ballot. Do you think the state of Utah maybe makes it too difficult, or did you find it to be manageable once you got the hang of it?
I don't know that it's difficult. I think it is time-consuming. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a lot it's a lot easier to get on the ballot as a member of the prominent two political party system in this country, as a Republican or as a Democrat. I mean, all you end up having to do there is you make calls to the delegates. Mm-hmm. I actually found the process of going door to door, talking to people, to be far more rewarding. To listening to people's concerns about what's going on in the district, to listen to what their hopes are and what their aspirations are for a congressional candidate.
We're speaking with Charles Kimball. He is an independent congressional candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District, which stretches from here in Salt Lake City down to southern Utah. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. You can also send your questions to us on Twitter at KCPW. Well, Charles, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your history here in Utah, and what kinds of things do you do for a living?
I came to Utah 17 years ago. 18 years ago now, to mm-hmm. attend the University of Utah as part of an exchange scholarship program from Maine. I got my undergraduate degree in political science. I am by trade a chef. I have spent the past 25 years in management, mm-hmm. in budget management, personnel management, restaurant management. So I find my relationships with my employees to be a good measure of how I conduct myself as a candidate. We operate as a member of a team. There's not one above the other or anything else. So if you look at if you take the kitchen setting, which I'm very comfortable in, mm-hmm. and apply it to the world at large, the smallest job is usually the most important job. So I tell the staff that where I work, my team, that the most important position we have in the kitchen is the dish room. I work for a management company out of Idaho. We run the food and nutrition services for a number of hospitals in the Mountain West. Mm-hmm. I am currently working at Ogden Regional Medical, where we have a staff of about 32 people that work with me. We feed anywhere from 200 to 300 patient meals a day. We feed about 500 people in the cafe. So it's a big operation. And the idea of behind that is that everybody has to work together. There can be, while we have ideological conflicts or we have personality conflicts, when it comes right down to it, we have to, in order for the department to succeed, we have to work together.
So, Charles, why run for the for Congress? Why not run for, say, the legislature or local office? What is it about this race that you want to be in Congress for?
I think the number one reason I'm running for Congress is the fact that we have one independent in Congress right now. Now that Senator Lieberman is retiring, so we have Senator Sanders from Vermont.
Right,
a lone voice for removing some of the obstacles to creating good government, money, the peddling of influence, the growing distrust amongst the citizenry in this country towards our politicians. We know that Congress is at an all-time low as far as how the view of the public on them. And I'd like to try to change that. I believe that the role of the representative on the national level is to be a facilitator between the ideas of the people and the resources that are available to them to succeed. So I run because I want people to recognize that middle-class Americans have something to contribute. I was told early on that to run a successful congressional race in the state of Utah is $1 million. $1 million. And it really, it took me back. Like, $1 million. And so you end up spending most of your time fundraising and not enough time talking to people about what their real concerns are, what their real issues are. So I'm hoping to change that.
So, Charles, you told me about how you used to be involved in the Democratic Party, I believe, but
yes.
Now you're an independent. Was it the influence of money that drove you out?
No.
What was it then?
It was the freedom that comes from being an independent. I don't believe that the political parties have cornered the market on ideas. I think there are ideological litmus tests. I think there are political structures in place that keep the party surviving, but does little to foster dialogue. And so we end up having conversations about how do we elect a Democrat, not how do we elect the best person for the job. And I believe I've evolved. We'll use the new language of the president. I've evolved, and I think that I have decided that the freedom that comes from being an independent allows me the capacity to listen to the best perspectives coming from wherever, and to bring those perspectives together without having to have, if there's an R in front of a name or if there's a D in front of a name, those things actually become obstacles to conversation. And I want to remove as much of the obstacle as I can.
801-355-TALK is our phone number, 801-355-8255, to ask questions of Charles Kimball, independent candidate for Congress in Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Well, Charles, this 2nd District, after the redistricting process, spans from here in Salt Lake City all the way down to the end of southern Utah. Have you gotten the chance to actually travel around a bit and listen to what people have to say?
I have. I've made a number of trips down south. One of the things that I've found traveling to the southern part of the state is that the citizens who live in rural Utah feel completely underrepresented. They believe that the politics of the state and nationally see the Wasatch Front as the beginning and the end of what goes on in the state, and it's just not the truth. So when we talk about public lands, down south, I recently was in Torrey, Bicknell, Gunnison, talking about public lands. And, you know, it's a boondoggle. People, to give the land back to the state, the people down there aren't that comfortable with that process.
You're talking about the legislature's intent to retake control of public lands from the federal government.
Yes. The people down there are not that comfortable with it. What they tell me is that, you know, we live in this area for a particular reason. So if you're in Torrey, you look out over the promontories and you see wonderful vistas. There is a concern on some folks that I spoke to that opening the lands up will open them up to development and remove the very reason that people come to that area. Mm-hmm. And they don't want that. They say that, you know, the government has the BLM land, but the devil we know is sometimes better than the devil we don't.
Charles, you have an interesting idea for tax reform that you talk about on your website that starts by exempting the first $40,000 of everybody's income from taxation. Obviously, taxation is an issue that comes up every year in Congress. Tell me a little bit more about your plan. I thought it was interesting.
When I first began this process, I started having a number of conversations with some economists.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we need to recognize is that there is a very vital relationship between healthy businesses and healthy consumers and healthy citizens. It's the money flow. People make money, they invest in their community, they buy goods and services, business can prosper, the money comes back to the consumers. Well, healthy businesses and healthy consumers require a healthy middle class. As we've seen, when one part of the relationship suffers, the other part of the relationship suffers. So the average income, if you measure out in this country, is around $40,000 a year. What I'm trying to do is put everything out on the table to get people to understand that we as citizens need to look at every option on how we go about reinvesting in our communities to put more money back in the hands of middle-class Americans to spur our economy. Because I firmly believe that our economies are local economies, and that the only way you build strong economies is to give money to the citizenry to invest in their community.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Charles Kimball, an independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Charles, going back to the influence of money in politics, is that the number one reason that you're running? And what ideas would you bring to Congress that would actually go about getting this done, considering how entrenched it is right now?
It's a big problem. In 2010 alone, $3.6 billion went through the House of the House and Senate of the United States in the form of donations.
Only $3.6 billion?
Only $3.6 billion. That amount of money silences a large majority of the population in this country from having any sort of conversation with their representatives. How do you go about with Citizens United being in place? I believe that one of the things that we have to do is we have to make sure that donations to the political process come from citizens only. I personally have capped my donations at $200. Mm-hmm. I take no PAC money. I take no union money. I believe that they have, there's an influence that comes with that, and I don't want to have that influence. I want to be beholding and a representative of the people, for the people, and by the people. I think that if we could elect more independent candidates who follow that same rubric, that say that they will not take any money from PACs or unions and they will cap their donations, excuse me, that we can begin to start to change the process in this country. I don't want to become part of a Democratic caucus or a Republican caucus. I want to listen to the best ideas. And I'm hopeful that my voice becomes another voice and becomes another voice. So I run to inspire others who feel the same way I do to take an account and lay a claim and take a stake in their democracy, because it is their country as well.
So would you say then that as far as banning anything but individual contributions would be the ultimate goal then? No PACs, no corporate contributions at all?
Ultimately, yes.
You have an interesting idea on your website I'd like to get to. That is, you want to see a high-speed rail line built from Logan to St. George. Why do you think Utah needs this?
Because I think Utah is the gateway to the West. I think that we have the entrepreneurial spirit. I think we have the willingness. I think we have the capacity to lead the Mountain West and build this hub. One of the ideas we've talked about is to get all the universities in the state involved in designing the particular train depots along the way. And it, as a friendly competition, keeping the work in state, building using the most modern technologies that we can find to build this, to build the hub, so that its carbon footprint is minimized, to bring jobs, sustainable jobs, sustainable transportation systems to the state. We know that our transportation structure in this country is past its prime. We know that fossil fuels are past their prime. We need to begin to embrace new technologies and look at ways that we can continue to keep goods, services, and people moving throughout the Mountain West and beyond. And I firmly believe that creating what we've called New Promontory is one of those ways.
So how do you think transportation stacks up when it comes to budget priorities when you have a country that's so many trillions of dollars in debt? Why is it a top priority?
Because we need to have this infrastructure in order to keep our economy moving. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then we end up hitting the abyss where our road system breaks down, maybe our dams, which are past their prime, begin to break down, and we begin to have more problems than we know what to do with. The budget is a big concern. Yes, we're trillions of dollars in debt. The question for that is, how do we go about building a smart enough government that is willing to address those issues? And I'm not certain that the current crop of elected officials have any intent on addressing those issues. They're great political footballs. So we take a budget and we the Republicans come out against entitlements on one side. The Democrats want to come out and protect entitlements on the other side. And no one really wants to do anything about it, because if they do, then they have to work together. And bipartisanship, by large, is a ruse.
We're speaking with Charles Kimball, independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Just a few minutes left here on Politics Up Close. What are your thoughts on defense spending, Charles? This is an issue that in some ways goes back to the influence of money in politics, defense contractors and that sort of thing, donating to members of Congress. What are your thoughts on defense spending and the idea of cutting it?
I think that if we're going to look at cutting programs, defense should actually be part of that process. And I recognize that it's probably one of the third rails of politics that we don't ever touch and look at defense. But how do we define defense? We're constantly looking at education and cutting education, but I firmly believe that education is part of a country's national defense. A well-educated electorate is essential to move forward a democracy. And do we need bases all over the world? I don't have that answer right now. I don't know. But can we get rid of the $17,000 oil pan that happened in Virginia from the senator through pork barrel politics? Yes, on a helicopter. Yes. So I think there are cuts to be made. There are efficiencies that we can look at. But we have to have that willingness to do so. And we have to be able to have a hard conversation with the citizens and be honest with them. And I think that's where it begins. And
Charles, we just have 30 seconds left here, but you were talking about how someone concerned about, as an independent, you drawing votes away from another candidate in the race, perhaps the Democratic candidate in particular. What would you say to those who might see you as a token candidate, one of those independents you see popping up from time to time who's running but has no actual chance of winning the race?
The spoiler.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the craziest things that we talk about, because votes haven't been cast. Hmm. And we don't vote for a party. We should be voting for the candidate. We should be voting for the ideas. And that's part of the problem that we face in this country, that we rubber stamp Republicans or Democrats, and they all come with these ideological constructs. And so I say, look at candidates. Look at what they're proposing.
This is Politics Up Close, a production of KCBW News. We've been speaking with Charles Kimball, an independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Charles, thank you very much for your time.
I thank you.
Listen to Politics Up Close every Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 6 on KCBW, and download podcasts of our interviews online at kcbw.org. I'm Jeff Robinson. Thanks for joining us.